All right, let me jump on into the Right Side Way opening monologue. I'll remind you guys that Stan McDonald, the law firm of Wilmer & Lee, Stan McDonald, a 30-year veteran of the practice of law, is indeed the daily sponsor of the Right Side Way. And I'll tell you more about Stan McDonald here in just a few minutes. So let me just start by saying yesterday was indeed Memorial Day, a day that we remember the lives of those men and women who gave the full measure of themselves in defense of our nation. And I would love to believe that their sacrifices were the last we would ever need, but given the state of the world, I would say that's not likely. Until the day that Jesus returns, we are assured that in this world we will have trouble. But we're also told to fear not, for he has overcome the world. But if we're to be his vessels, his servants, then we must find our calling, and for some, that calling has been in uniform, at least for a time. See, the world's not a steady place. Like I said a minute ago, there are wars and rumors of wars. We are engaged in some hostile situations, but we are not currently at war as a nation. But if we think for a minute that there will never be another time of war, then we're living in la-la land. But this past weekend, I made several appearances on national news broadcasts to discuss the latest efforts by the Trump administration to build America's military back to a place where we can once again use the phrase peace through strength. It is long overdue. In fact, if I had to put a title on this particular monologue, I'd call it Peace Through Strength Again. But let me suggest to you, by the way, that peace is actually an active word. It's a verb. More than it's a noun, peace can be a noun, a person, place, or thing, but in the sense of making peace, it pretty much has to be a verb. Think about that. So in the English language, peace is a noun. Sometimes it's an adjective. Peace is in English is a thing. It's a descriptive term. But peace, can peace be actually a verb? You see, can peace be an action word? Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. Colt Firearms developed a world-class pistol, called it the peacemaker. One version is a noun, one's an adjective. Is it possible, though, for nations to make peace treaties? Yeah. It is possible for a person to have peace or to know peace or to seek out a peaceful moment in a busy schedule. But here's my question for you now. Can you actually do peace? Can peace be an action? In the English language, the answer is apparently no. But if you go back to Scripture in Matthew, when Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, one study I read said the original Greek translation did not have a Greek word to pull from, and so they had to rely instead on Hebrew tradition. And because in Hebrew, peace can also be a verb. In that language, the answer to my question is yes. It is possible to do peace. In Hebrew, peace can be an action. Now, it almost sounds like an oxymoron, like we're taking opposites and making them attract. But the idea of peace in the English language sounds kind of calm, right? But the idea of peace in Hebrew is just the period between conflicts. It's a brief respite in an otherwise chaotic world in which we catch our breath, keep doing all that's necessary to preserve the peace while also preparing for war. As George Washington said in his first annual address to Congress, to be prepared for war is the most effectual means of preserving the peace. I believe it was a verb tense version of peace that Ronald Reagan intended when he pressed the idea of peace through strength. Reagan believed that the best time to prepare for conflict was when there was no conflict. That by doing so, our enemies would then see us as too big of an obstacle and therefore avoid conflict, and by doing so, we would have more peace. In effect, Reagan believed in the idea of doing peace. Think about that. Not just being at peace, but actually doing peace. The Biden administration believed in appeasement and containment. You know, give the bad guys something, hope they'll stay in their lane. But let's be clear about something. Appeasement of bad men does not make them good. Appeasement of evil does not make it less evil. All it does is keep it at bay for a little while. If someone is determined to commit atrocities, they should not be given leave to do so. And honestly, appeasement only works if you're the strongest one in the discussion. No one feels a need to appease the weak, right? That's why we must return to the place that we press for peace through strength. A little history for you. On September 30th, 1938, exactly 86 years ago-ish, the Munich Agreement was signed. The Munich Agreement. Adolf Hitler, Benito Mussolini. They signed the agreement with the President of France and the Prime Minister of England. Britain's Prime Minister at the time was Neville Chamberlain, who returned to Great Britain and announced that he had helped to achieve peace in our time. The agreement was that France and Great Britain would stand by and say nothing and then allow Germany to annex a huge swath of Czechoslovakia. They gave Hitler exactly what he wanted. They appeased his thirst for power and territory. They did it for the promise of peace. But exactly 1 year later, Nazi Germany invaded Poland and catapulted the world into the most costly and devastating war in human history. So how'd that appeasement work out? Not so well. Neville Chamberlain was trying to be at peace, but instead the world would have been a better place if he had just decided to do peace. Peace is certainly possible. Peace should always be the desired goal. But the means to reach that goal will never be found in weakness. The goal is peace, but the means is by strength. Come to the table, discuss peace, but hold the biggest stick at the table and you're going to get more done. Speaking at the Republican convention in 1980, Ronald Reagan said, here's his quote, quote, "We know only too well that war comes not when the forces of freedom are strong, but when they are weak. It is then that tyrants are tempted," he said. Reagan's foreign policy became known as the Reagan Doctrine. It was a support of freedom for all people around the world, his commitment to the idea of peace through strength. It led to the modernization of our military forces. And during Reagan's administration, the size of the U.S. Army grew by two active divisions. It saw the development of new weapon systems. Reagan's belief was his policy of strengthening the U.S. military would not only contain communism, but would actually defeat it. And he was right. Within a few short years, the Soviet Union fell. And the 80s became a resurgent era for the U.S. economy, for U.S. foreign policy, for our standing on the world stage. The world recognized then that the United States was not in the business of appeasement anymore. Jimmy Carter was gone. Reagan was here. Peace through strength was the way. I don't believe the same can be said for the U.S. position during the Biden era. No. At every turn, the Biden administration worked to weaken our position on national security, foreign policy, military capability, border security, economic well-being. Things happened around us that should never have been allowed to happen. But we are now moving back to an era in which we will operate from a position of strength. We operate once again as a nation that means what it says and says what it means, not under the fallible cloak of appeasement. We can be your best friend, or you can wish you'd never heard of us. Again, I believe it was the verb tense version of peace that Ronald Reagan intended when he pressed the idea of peace through strength. Reagan believed that the best time to prepare for conflict was, in fact, when there was no conflict, and that by doing so, our enemies would see us as too big of an obstacle, therefore they would avoid conflict with us, and by doing so, we would have more peace. Like I said before, in effect, Reagan believed in the idea of doing peace. The concept of peace through strength, too, is our surest and most effective way to promote safety and security here at home. Our enemies are growing stronger and bolder every day. Gone are the days when nations will survive because the United States engaged in some feckless and reckless appeasement. We must be willing to lead, guide, and direct from a position of strength if we're to remain a beacon for the world. But let me suggest to you, it is possible to both have peace and to do peace at the same time. And we have to. Don't think for a second that if you get a minute to breathe freely and relax, it means there's nothing left to do. Like I said before, consider the Hebrew term for peace. It indicates that peace may be upon you. Peace may be a thing to be grasped. Peace may be a restful moment. But peace may also be that thing you do between times of conflict. So yeah, blessed are the peacemakers. It is not an idle job to be a peacemaker, though. It is a very busy existence. And strength and preparation and forward thinking, those are the doings of peace. And by the way, peace can be restful. And you can be at peace, even when everyone around you is losing their minds, right? It's that peace that surpasses all understanding that we hear about in Philippians 4. I've got it. I know a bunch of you do as well. But even still, it does not mean we sit idle. We keep calm, we carry on. But we remember, the fact is, peace can be a verb. And the United States is about the doing of peace, not just the having of it. Peace through strength. That's a wrap for The Right Side Way.